Do you want to make a difference in the world?
And see the lives of the people of India and all internationals transformed with the gospel?
As India goes, all Asia will go with.
Living the Dream podcast provides tools for you to pray, give, and go
as you become an active participant in the Great Commission.
And help your church's demographic represent the demographic of your community.
Get ready to find your strategy for reaching your community and changing the world here at Living the Dream podcast with your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Living the Dream podcast. This is where the church gathers to mobilize in order to effectively reach the community and change the world, including all the foreign-born internationals moving into our communities. I interview today's top church leaders from around the world so we can learn all we can about reaching internationals with the gospel and partnering with them in the Great Commission. It's time the church has this conversation. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources for tools for your success. Now, let's jump into today's show.
Get ready, people. Do I have a guest for us today? Before we welcome Pastor Rodel Hernandez onto the show, let me tell you why I'm especially honored to have him on the show. Pastor Rodel serves on staff at the Summit Church with Pastor J.D. Greer in Durham, North Carolina. He is a directional elder and campus pastor for the Spanish Campus Summit in Espanol, located in Durham. Pastor Rodel is married with three kids. He holds degrees from Duke University, Miami-Dade College, and Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Pastor Rodel loves road course racing. Let me ask you, do you think Pastor Rodel once drank milk straight out of a goat, has lived most of his life in poor conditions in other countries, or is he an amazing dancer? Let's find out. Pastor Rodel, welcome to Living the Dream podcast. Pastor Rodel, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Yeah. So let's begin by just finding out, did you drink milk straight out of a goat? Have you lived most of your life in very poor conditions, or are you a really good dancer?
Yeah, the lie there would be that I'm a really good dancer.
Oh, I was hoping that that was the true, truth. No, you're a really good singer.
Well, that's the funny part.
Incredible worship leader, pastor, counselor.
People say I have great rhythm. I have no idea why I can't dance, but those things, I wish I could.
Yeah, part of going to heaven for me is going to be to get rhythm myself as well. Yeah, so brother, it's good to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, so let's just get to know Pastor Rodel, tell us how you got to Durham, North Carolina, and became a follower of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, grew up in an island called Cuba, in communist Cuba in the late 70s and through the 80s. Mm-hmm. Russia was still very present during those years. Mm-hmm. We moved to Peru at the end of the, in November of 88. That was a miracle because they weren't letting people out. And our family had a request. Official request to go to Peru as missionaries, which we laughed about because we said you should have said social help or something other than Christian, because the Cuban government is atheist, and mm-hmm. they teach atheism since the kids are for every kid since they're 4 years old. But God, right? It's one of those things, you know, that God did. And also, we didn't think it was going to be possible to leave the country because I am the youngest of four brothers. Mm-hmm. And in Cuba, the army is obligatory for guys. Mm-hmm. So they definitely don't let young people leave, mm-hmm. especially men. Mm-hmm. Again, but God. And so I did grow up on a Christian household, but I was the skeptic or atheist within my household, mm-hmm. because I really bought into the agenda that I was being taught every day at school.
Under the influence of communism.
Yes. Yeah. And definitely when I would come home and try to debate God, it didn't go well. Mm-hmm. So, but later in life, I turned from being a very agnostic to being a Pharisee, which I thought it was being a Christian. And then mm-hmm. later after that, God in his grace saved me. But we went from Cuba to Peru, lived in Peru.
Your whole family got to go.
Yes.
That is incredible miracle.
That is incredible. It is.
I mean, even in 2020, the last thing you want to put down in some of these countries you're trying to enter is that you want to be a missionary.
That's right. That's right. It was really odd.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1992, we arrived in Miami. So, to be honest with you, even though we were very poor, physically speaking,
mm-hmm.
When back in those days, you had telegrams and things like that, and we received this proposal with visas to come to the U.S., and we said no. Because we weren't thinking of U.S. My parents were in love with the work that we're doing there and mm-hmm. church planting and so forth in very mm-hmm. hard areas. So it was several months before we started even praying about coming to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was also really odd that, you know, we can just go and come that way. And so, yeah, so in 92, we arrived to Miami, and 1998, I moved to North Carolina,
okay.
February of 98. And, I came to Christ and started planting churches, but bivocationally, because a lot of my atheist friends, for me to work for a church would be to lose my credibility with my atheist friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to do regular work, to pay my bills with regular work,
mm-hmm.
and just serve the church that way. So I planted a few churches bivocationally until a brother by the name of J.D. Greer
yeah.
convinced me to come here to the summit, and mm-hmm. I was working IT here in RTP and planning another church that's still there. It's in Cary. It was a big move for me for various reasons, mm-hmm. but ended up starting Summit en Español, which is the Spanish-speaking congregation of the Summit Church,
yeah.
in 2009 with basically my wife and I and my kids, and that's it. And by God's grace, he's given that fruit as well. But
yeah,
it's a bit of a long story to capture in such
a short time. I love it. And what a story of being serious for Christ. I mean, your parents put down that they were going to go to Peru to be a missionary.
That's
very serious.
It is.
And then to even turn down an American visa because
right.
they wanted to stay in Peru as church planters.
Right.
That's pretty serious for the gospel.
Yeah. My parents have neat stories of, my father was, the communist government, they knew my parents were Christian, and they let my father study in university until the very last semester,
mm-hmm.
all 4 years of university. And then they called him to the dean's office and said, look, we know that you're about to graduate, but we know you're a Christian. If you do not denounce Christ, we're not going to let you graduate. You're not going to get a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was Romans 1:16. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
He doesn't have a college degree, even though he mm-hmm. went to college. But he's a tremendous man of faith, and he's just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even the seriousness that continues through your life, that you're so serious about being an evangelist, you don't want to take the word pastor and have a stumbling block for the people you're witnessing to.
That's right. That's right.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah, I've also seen some things in churches that I understand why some unbelievers have their hesitations. And, you know, back when I was working IT, of course, it's a very lucrative, career. And I did sense the favoritism of some pastors because of my giving to mm-hmm. to the particular ministry. And so, it's funny because I never really wanted to be in ministry precisely because of things like that. But again, God used Pastor JD to offer me a job here for a lot less money. And mm-hmm. I said mm-hmm. yes. So I don't know what I was thinking, but
yeah.
So.
Well, we're living in a time when the church is becoming more and more aware of the gospel being for all people.
Yeah.
And it's not just the Caucasian gospel.
Yes.
And it's not just even the American gospel.
Yes.
And so praise God for Pastor JD for having the openness to use at that time a historically white church.
That's right.
To plant a Spanish mission.
That's right. That's right. And the only reason we meet in two different, basically the same roof, but two different spaces is because of the language barrier. We do believe people need to hear the gospel in their native tongue.
Mm-hmm.
But we do take seriously the call to be one. And even though we have a long way to go, it was a very bold move.
Yeah.
And really, I think God has honored his faith in that.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that because there may be some church leaders that are listening, and it's just a healthy conversation. Do mm-hmm. you separate out Spanish-speaking people from the church. What I'm finding in my conversations is it's really for the purpose of language barrier. Otherwise, the church is to be very united and is united. And so let's just, first of all, just talk about your position and where you've come from being hired. And today you're a directional elder. And so what are you today for Summit Church?
Yeah, I'm one of the 10 directional elders. We have 5 staff and 5 lay directional elders that oversee the church at large. And by God's grace, I'm on that board. And I'm also the campus pastor for the Spanish-speaking congregation. And now we are meeting in 2 separate spaces, North Raleigh or Capitol Hills and here in Briar Creek. And I do preach live at both of those because culturally speaking, that is just a better format since Latinos tend to be more relational. I do preach live on Saturday night over there and Sunday over here. But one of the first things, if I were to take you back to when I first met JD at a Starbucks, 11 and a half years ago, and he talked to me, I said, look, if you're interested in your missions department feeling better by checking a box that says we're not reaching Latinos, then I'm definitely not the guy for you. I said, now, if you're willing to consider some of the weaknesses that I personally see in the Summit Church and you want me to help you to reach Latinos, that's a different story. But as far as leadership, I need to be on staff the same level that anybody that gets hired here at any position. And so from that conversation, I was able to tell them honestly some weaknesses that I saw at the Summit Church, and then also talked about reaching Latinos and just gave him some numbers and things like that of the people around him. And the fact that he was very open to listen, and he's always listened to criticism well, that was huge to me. And the fact that I've never wanted to work for a church, so I was almost trying to teach him to find somebody. I really didn't think I was going to be the guy. In fact, when he offered me the position, I said no initially because I'm like, no, I don't want to work for church. I'll do some work, bivocationally. But yeah, I think from the very beginning, it's uplifting the value of all people, that all people are created in the image of God. And we do have the nations around us, and we just can't ignore them. The 3 most spoken languages in the world, you have Mandarin, you have Spanish as number 2, statistically speaking, and English as number 3. And what a miracle that the Summit Church has a service in Mandarin, English, and Spanish. Wow. And we still have to figure out better ways to support our Mandarin congregation in Chapel Hill and support our Spanish-speaking congregation. But we're learning together and we're growing together in this journey. And that's what it is. It's a journey.
Well, I just honor Pastor J.D. Greer and the Summit Church, because today, 2020, Summit Church is definitely of the mindset of a multinational church. It is not just a white church. It's not a black church. It's not even American church only, even though your campuses are very much concentrated in the local community here in the Triangle of North Carolina. But take us back 11 years ago. You were probably the first hire of a Latino on staff, or
probably, yes, that I know
close
of. Yes.
To it.
Yeah, I was definitely the first Latino in the choir. And there was a lot of those first. And also from the get-go, I laughed. One of our executive pastors, his name is Rick Lanston. And the first day I got hired, he brought me the hottest wings he can find in the Triangle. And then I went on to tell him that I don't eat hot food, and he went crazy. Of course, I did learn to eat hot food in Peru, but usually people in Cuba, they use lots of spices like oregano and garlic and stuff like that. But nothing is spicy. So just the, and I say this very kindly, but just the ignorance that was there from day one was incredible. And I've always said, the gap, the breach between awareness and gospel community is inconvenience. It's sacrificial love. So, we've been walking together now for a few years, and we're not as ignorant, but we're still growing. We're still growing and getting to know different cultures and different peoples around us.
So let's just make it very clear. The Summit Church is very much a diverse church, but that is not the agenda. I mean, like, diversity is not how you became diverse. Yes, it is a very high value, but the gospel is central. And the gospel is for all people. So therefore, the church has to be diverse in order to be faithful to the gospel.
Yeah, there is a beautiful tension there. And I see it almost as any other good tension. Like if you were to ask me, Kevin, do you want Jesus to return today? Mm-hmm. I would say yes and no. I couldn't say yes or right. just no. Mm-hmm. Because in one sense, I want a lot of the suffering to end. I've done, by God's grace, it's given me a lot of suffering in my life in different areas. But in another sense, I'm thinking of Enrique and Mike, and I'm thinking of Javier, who are three atheist friends of mine right now that I'm regularly having coffee with, mm-hmm. and Andrea. And I know if God returns now, it wouldn't be good news for them. Mm. So the tension here is that in one sense, yes, the main mission is not racial reconciliation. It's reconciliation to God in Christ alone. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, and people say, well, if we do that, we should be able to see the results of a diverse community. Well, if we're not intentional with the people that we are around us, because we haven't learned what love really is, which is it's death, it's inconvenience, then if we're not intentional about it, we'll continue to be a homogeneous church, and that would be a tragedy, mm-hmm. Especially when we have diverse people around us. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of diversity other than ethnic diversity. Mm-hmm. There is socioeconomic diversity. I think yes. our church and many churches have to grow in learning how to do inner city ministry, learning mm-hmm. even our processes. Sometimes we don't realize they're unintentionally for the, you know, white affluent, you mm-hmm. know, population. But even if you live in a place where there is 98% Anglo around you, mm-hmm. there's still room there for people that are not like your congregation. Mm-hmm. And that is, that, you know, God calls us to reach out and see the beauty of his body mm-hmm. in that community as well. So, yeah, there's a beautiful tension there where, yes, diversity or being multicultural or all these things, they're not the main thing. But at the same time, if we're not intentional, we're going to continue to be segregated churches, and we definitely don't want to see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's just talk about some of the successes that God has given you and Summit Church, Summit Espanol, and being a gospel outpost to the Latino community. What do you believe God has honored, and what do you look back and say, this is where we still had room to grow?
Yes. Well, the first one is the obvious one. We're reaching Latinos now. We couldn't do it before. Latino churches, generally speaking, I know there's many healthy Latino churches, but generally speaking, they tend to be on extremes. Mm-hmm. Any kinds of extremes, if it's a charismatic extreme or if it's a, you know,
legalistic
extreme, mm-hmm. or just they're Catholic and they're not really teaching the Bible. And by God's grace, one of the things that God has granted us here, a couple of things have happened. One, before I say this, let me just say that I don't think there's any church that is 100% healthy because they have people like me in it. Mm-hmm. but I think we have some real health and sound doctrine that sometimes is not found in Latino communities. Now, you have to look at history. You know, when the reform happened in the 1500s, it's funny. Anybody can go and see when all these Latin American countries were conquered by Spaniards, mm-hmm. and notice the dates, they coincide with the dates of the reform. What I'm trying to say is the reform never really made it to Latin America. Mm. And so we don't have a lot of the same concepts, great concepts that the average North American has mm-hmm. about the Bible, mm-hmm. because that never made it. All we got was heavy Catholicism. Mm. And it used to take a year and a half, you know, for Columbus to travel from Spain to Latin America in a mm-hmm. ship, you know. So we never got the reformers. And so usually we have a lot of extremes within Latino churches and communities. But by God's grace, I do think, though we believe we're nothing, I do think that this is a church where the believer and the unbeliever can come, and mm-hmm. that the only thing that is going to offend them is the gospel, but nothing else should offend them.
That's right.
And so, you know, I think that's a win. The other win, though, is that if you were to listen to my Spanish, this happens to me all the time, people cannot tell where I'm from. Mm. And that is intentional. I've worked really, really hard to genuinely speak in Spanish that is very generic and Castilian-based. Mm-hmm. I know this is going to sound nerdy, but I read the encyclopedia and the dictionary in Spanish a lot. And the reason why I do that is because even within just a Spanish-speaking congregation, mm-hmm. the dream was always to have multi-ethnicity there. Mm-hmm. And so right now, by God's grace, at any given Sunday at Summit in Espanol, we have 15 plus countries. There mm-hmm. is not a dominant Latino country mm-hmm. that is, oh, most of us here are Venezuelan or most of us here or Mexicans or something like that. And one of our themes have been Philippians 3:20, right? Our citizenship is in heaven, mm-hmm. from where we await a savior. And the way we say it is, look, it's not that we're not grateful of where we were born. Mm-hmm. It's just that we're more grateful of where we're going because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that I pay
Brother, I want you to pray that over America.
Amen.
We need that. Amen. We think we own this land.
Oh, yeah.
And yet the Bible makes it clear this land is owned by the Lord Jesus
That's
Christ.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And only him.
That's right. And yeah. it's keeping that eternal focus, right? Mm-hmm. This citizenship is in heaven. And yeah. so one of the things that I've had to do is make sure that I do not praise or exalt my own culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like even at the beginning, it's hard for me to say I'm from Cuba because I'm so used to not even saying that.
This is so good.
And so I never, ever in a sermon would say, oh, you know, the beaches in Cuba are just, you know, awesome, or they're mojitos or whatever, you yeah. know? So I never do that because I don't want to exalt a culture. I want to exalt Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, there is beauty in every culture,
mm-hmm.
But there's also sin in every mm-hmm. culture.
Yeah.
And so that theme of Philippians 3:20 and not putting so much effort, not putting so much attention or it's almost fighting nationalism, not putting so much weight on where we were born, but of where we're going only because of the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's really made Summit en Español a very diverse community.
I love that principle, brother.
Thank you.
And even my white brothers and sisters need to consider that and adhere to that principle.
Amen. Amen.
So we would not exalt our culture either above someone else's culture.
Amen. Amen.
Exactly. And focus on where we're headed and not where we're from.
Oh, you're preaching now.
Yeah. And it's not that we're ashamed.
Right. No, no, no.
I mean, because you can have a festival and have a potluck and everybody's culture get represented.
Yeah.
But you just don't make one dominate.
That's right.
And everyone else have to swallow.
That's right. We don't want to squash some of your customs, again, unless your customs, there's sin in it. That's mm-hmm. why I say there's beauty and sin in cultures.
Yeah.
So there is beauty in this mosaic, of this tapestry of the body of Christ. But we're going to tackle sin starting with us. And we're not nationalists. We're mm-hmm. we're heaven bound. Mm-hmm. And so we carry that mentality. So I think a huge win. And even Latinos get surprised when they mm-hmm. come to Summit en Español,
mm-hmm.
that there are so many different Latino countries, because even among Latinos, there's animosity. Oh, this country and that country don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
But when they see, how come they get along here? It's because our identity is no longer on our birthplace, but on our future place with yeah. Christ.
Well, how did we get to 2020? Now you're one of many foreign-born internationals on staff,
mm-hmm.
on platform, in the choir, in leadership. You're even a direction. You're one of 10 directional That's elders. Right. Are you the only foreigner? Are there others?
There is Kanka now,
uh-huh.
Who's of Asian descent and mm-hmm. of Asian descent, mm-hmm. And then myself.
Yeah, and so there's representation among the various levels of Summit. But take us back again, 11 years ago. Did Pastor mm-hmm. JD start wearing a sombrero? Was there a taco truck out front in order for Summit Church to begin reaching? What did Summit Church stake in the ground in order to
right.
reach Latinos? Yeah.
Well, I do think they put their money where their mouth was. Basically, as we do when we see a need, we want to see laborers rise.
Mm-hmm.
We know the harvest is there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we try to identify a leader, laborers,
mm-hmm.
and then we see what kind of harvest there is.
Mm-hmm.
And then appoint them to it. And that's basically what happened. You know, when I was reached out by Pastor JD, I think he was trying to put a leader to help them here. And at first, I didn't know they wanted me to work here. And then when they reached out and said, no, we want you to work here. We want you to help us.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge, because mm-hmm. you're putting your money where your mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10 years later, we have an average of 300 people coming to the Spanish campus. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so much into numbers. In fact, I'm the last person that looks at numbers. But there is a harvest, because it was an intentionality where we felt the Holy Spirit leading us. And we were just not going to stay silent and dormant on the needs around mm-hmm. us. So I think the main thing sometimes is identifying a leader and just investing in it like we do with anything else, mm-hmm. you know, just truly investing in it. I think for a long time, I love the nations. We you know, I've lived in three different countries. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly going out of the country on on mission trips of different kinds to both the Muslim world and Asia and to Latin American countries. But sometimes we do have a tendency to, in America, to read Acts 1:8 backwards. Mm-hmm. In other words, I've heard fellow, this actually happened to me just 3 months ago. We were in Mexico in a village of 4,000 people, okay. No believers, no churches.
Okay.
And I went with a friend here from Summit, an English speaker, Anglo, the regular, you know, Summit member. Mm-hmm. When we were coming back from that trip, we were in the airport in Dallas, and he said, you know, I'm really feeling really convicted right now. And I said, why is that? And he said, because here I am paying $2,000 for this trip, traveling thousands of miles to be with Latinos for a week. Mm-hmm. And I've never gone once to a Spanish service that is literally a mile from my house at the Summit in Espanol. And so I think we have a tendency. I heard somebody else going on a missions trip to build houses in Mexico. And the irony there was incredible. I'm like, who builds your houses here? Mm-hmm. You know? And I think we have a tendency because, and it's not ill intent. You know, the United States has a long legacy of sending missionaries all over the world. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that to ever stop. Mm-hmm. But because we love the nation so much, sometimes we think of over there, and then crossing the street is what becomes hard. So loving our neighbor, I think, is the challenge. It's like it's easier to help a Venezuelan in Venezuela than to help them down the street. And that's the way we get it wrong. Because sometimes it's less sacrificial to go a week somewhere than to actually do life with somebody that's, you know, in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Acts 1:8, you brought our attention to that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
And so you're saying we're tempted at times to just go directly to the ends of the earth.
That's right.
And ignore the opportunity right across the road.
That's right.
And around the cubicle in our office.
That's right. We also forget that the end of the earth for me right now, I mean, I can't do it. The past is gone. I don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes from now. Mm-hmm. The end of the earth for me right now is where we are. Mm-hmm. It's the people around me. Mm-hmm. And so that doesn't mean that God can't move me and take me somewhere else. You know, we love going overseas.
Mm-hmm. You're not in opposition to foreign missions.
No.
You're proving that with your lifestyle.
But
it's not an either or. It's
right. And so you have this sad competition between the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. But what we forget is that both include the neighbor, right? I think that sometimes we forget that, especially in North America. I think sometimes we forget it.
Yeah. So let's drill down. What have you seen Summit Church do in a healthy way to avoid the Latino ministry being just a notch in the belt?
Yes, definitely some investment by the staff. Mm-hmm. You know, executive leadership. Also, just the fact that I am given a place of authority that first I know I don't deserve, but also they want to have representation and that elder type decision making from somebody that has a Latino worldview that has been huge. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the approach of learning from beloved friends of mine that are Anglo is, teach me everything you know, and then I will be great at what I don't have because of you. And I think that's the wrong approach. I think it's like, look, you don't need to learn everything that I know and become an expert, because that's the way academia is in America. What you need is me, and I need you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In other words, you don't need to now do all this learning. All you need is me, and all I need is you, because I am very ignorant to many issues. I preached a sermon here at the Summit. I preach about twice, two or three times a year for Pastor JD. And the last sermon I preached, it was really a sermon on racism without ever mentioning the word. And one of the things that I did early on when I moved to North Carolina, it was really weird because I was going north, but I was arriving south, and I befriended racists. And people say, why did you do that? I said, because they believe what they believe for a reason, and I need to love them, and I need to actually, I'm seeking to understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And so I think there is this approach to even learning that it's like, well, no, let me learn everything you know. And I'm like, no, we need each other. The body of Christ needs each other. I need you and you need me. Mm-hmm. And I think churches need to do that. You know, don't just give people a face, give them value by putting them in level in leadership positions. Now, I know why that doesn't happen, Kevin, and that's because, in a nutshell, typically speaking, or generally speaking, white leadership does not want to surrender power. Mm. And sadly, minorities don't want to surrender fear. Mm. And so we both have some mm-hmm. repenting to do. Mm-hmm. We have to surrender fear, minorities, and white leadership has to surrender power. Mm. When you just work together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I've seen that over in India. And I applaud your strategy there, because God showed me 10 years ago, you are never to replace, you are always to empower. Mm. And if you go in thinking that you have something that is better than your brother and sister in India, that is called entitlement. And you can't really minister in that spirit. And so, yeah, relinquishing power. Yes. And relinquishing fear.
Amen.
Really
Amen.
Brings healthy partnership.
And now, a story from the mission field.
So I want to tell you the story about the roads in Nagaland. I want you to imagine roads in the mountains where you've ever traveled. I grew up in North Carolina. There's beautiful mountains, the Blue Ridge Parkway's here. Interstate 40 goes right through the mountains of North Carolina over into Tennessee. Several major highways are very convenient to us to get in and around and through the mountains. I want you to imagine not having pavement and not having a four-lane road even, sometimes only having one narrow lane and it not being paved. And you have to go really only like maybe 50 miles, but it takes you 10 and a half hours because you are going in and over the woods to grandma's house. And you are in Jeeps and every fiber of your body is being jolted and shaking and thrown around to some degree. It sounds abusive. It really isn't, because our hearts are for the Lord and for the gospel. But riding the roads of Nagaland can certainly test your faith and it can test your patience, but there's no way to survive without laughter. And so one of the funniest moments is just getting out at one of the rest areas and looking at my fellow brothers and sisters from the USA and taking a pulse at who is the greenest, who has the most motion sickness, who is calling on Jesus for salvation again, who is begging for his quick return. And we laugh and we get back in and we ride another 5 or 6 hours to our destination. The roads of Nagaland are beautiful and hilarious.
We want to give some local love to the award-winning team at Mako Medical, one of the most desired laboratories in the United States, with the quickest turnaround time in the industry and one of the fastest growing companies in the Triangle region of North Carolina. We recognize their CEO, Chad Price, for his public witness for Christ and corporate practice of generosity. Mako is known for its extensive community service, supporting over 470 local nonprofits and charities, as well as Christian missionaries around the world and proud employers of military veterans. Check out their website at makomedical.com.
Nothing boosts reaching internationals more than saying, "I've been there." Global Hope India has taken nearly 1,000 people on short-term mission trips and seen both Americans and Indians radically transformed. Experience a life-changing adventure. If you're looking to see people far from God raised to life in Christ, then GHI is your opportunity. See our mission trips at globalhopeindia.org/go. There's definitely a trip for you.
Know your numbers. Maybe you've seen the show Shark Tank, and you've seen the business owners come in to pitch to the sharks and explain why they're the right person to execute the vision for their business. Well, we believe that you are the right person to execute the vision for your church, and you need to know your numbers.
It's important to know your numbers. Every number is a soul. Every soul is a creation of God.
So I want you to check out these stats of the birthplace of foreign-born populations living in the USA today. In 1990, there was 4 million people from Mexico. Today, there's over 12 million. In 1990, there was less than 1 million people from China living in the USA. Today, there's over 3 million. In 1990, there was not even 500,000 Indian nationals living in the USA. Today, there is over 2.5 million. In 1990, there was 1 million people from the Philippines living in the USA. Today, there's 2 million. In 1990, there was less than 500,000 people from El Salvador living in the USA. Today, there's 1.5 million. In 1990, there was a little over 500,000 people from Vietnam living in the USA. Today, 1.5 million people from Vietnam live here in the USA. And I could go on and on. In 1990, there was 600,000 people from South Korea living in the USA. It now exceeds over 1 million people. In 1990, there were less than 350,000 people from the Dominican Republic. Today, it exceeds 1 million people. My point is, this is an incredible reason and opportunity for the church to have an identifiable and measurable strategy to reach these beautiful friends that are foreign-born internationals living in our communities today.
Any other wins, healthy things? Because I'd like for you to just be honest about prayer points, things where you still see the church needs, has a lot of room to grow, not just specifically Summit Church, but just the American church.
Yes. I do think this leadership point is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that, you know, surrender and power is a big thing. And I think if we win the war there, when you can do it, when you can trust somebody, I'm not saying rise someone to leadership that's a minority just because they're a minority. Mm-hmm. You know, altar qualifications still exist. Deacon qualifications for men and women still exist. But once you can basically trust somebody, work together and lead each other. And I think the Summit still has a lot of growing to do in that area. For example, I think our ministries just, again, it's not ill intent. I think they don't naturally think of the Spanish-speaking congregation when they are planning for ministry, whether that's the communications team or mm-hmm. a creative team creating a video or graphic. And so one of the things that I've been working for years here is, yes, I could put some things in place to help you think of us,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately love is shown because you're taking the initiative to think of us. So mm-hmm. in the same way, sometimes I disciple a guy friend
mm-hmm.
and I said, look, you're not very kind to your wife. You don't compliment your wife. So I'm going to put in your schedule random moments in your calendar on your phone that are going to come up and they're going to remind you, text something to your wife that's mm-hmm. nice. And I do that randomly enough
mm-hmm.
to try to disciple this guy to, thinking in Spanish here, but to love his wife and mm-hmm. speak well of her.
That's
and in the same way, we create those systems for ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, our communications team has, hey, you need this graphic in Spanish. But the reason ultimately that doesn't work is because nothing trumps love.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately what we want is our ministries to think of the people around them
mm-hmm.
just almost naturally. And mm-hmm. that's not natural. And so I think we still have a lot of room to grow there. That's one of our prayer points, that whenever mm-hmm. we do something that we don't just think of the, and the pushback, I guess, is to say, well, it's not like we're thinking of the white community as you're not consciously thinking of only the white community because you're already, that's the only community by which you see everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be intentional of thinking of African-Americans and Asians, Native mm-hmm. Americans and Latinos around you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do have a lot of room to grow there. Also understanding, and we've come a long way, you know, but understanding context. I'll give you just a brief example. We preached a series called The Difficult Sayings of Jesus, right? And I study with JD every week.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at the same passage together. And in this graphic, what the creative team did is where they put like a face of Jesus and they put tape on Jesus' mouth
mm-hmm.
because it was The Difficult Sayings of Jesus. That may be cool for an Anglo community, graphics, maybe, mm-hmm. but it's highly offensive for a Latino to come into a church, a place where the church meets, and see a poster of supposedly Jesus mm-hmm. with tape in his mouth. That mm-hmm. is, so it was hilarious because our graphics looked exactly the same, except that in one of them, Jesus didn't have tape in his mouth. Mm-hmm. So they are growing. They're willing now mm-hmm. to make those changes mm-hmm. and they're growing in their understanding of the context. Look, the gospel is not going to change, but like you were alluding to earlier, my mm-hmm. methods, you cannot go to India and give, you know, Target examples, right? Mm-hmm. Target and Walmart examples. Right. I don't think so.
Snowball.
So, yeah. Can't
illustrate with snowballs.
Yeah, yes.
If they've never seen snow.
That's right. So, you know, gospel is not going to change, but do we have the willingness mm-hmm. to understand and the investment? Because it will take more time mm-hmm. to do a second graphic.
Yeah.
You know, to think of my brothers and my neighbors. Yeah.
And we may think that hearing Pastor Riddell speak of the intent of love not being that big of a deal, mm-hmm. but that is the character of God. God so loved Amen. That he gave.
Amen.
And so for the local church to not really demonstrate love from the very beginning will absolutely be a deterrent to the gospel.
Absolutely.
And Pastor JD, he could come in and he would be the first to say he's not perfect, but he is known. Part of his witness is that he is a man surrendered to the authority of God mm-hmm. and that he is not a power broker as the lead pastor. He's a very strong leader,
right.
but he leads out of the witness of submission. And he also leads out of the character of love. I mean, the reason he wanted you on staff is that he really does have a love mm-hmm. for people far from God, from people who have not been reached by the gospel yet. And I love even God's strategy. He sent Pastor JD on the other side of the world and really poured out his love for the Muslim community.
That's right. That's right.
And so now you come into Durham, North Carolina, and there's a variety of ethnic groups and cultures coming and making their home right here. And so how do you remain? I mean, he took over a very historically white church. Called of God here and out of that came Summit Church, but now Summit is very much a church to the nations. I would be hard pressed to really find a group of foreigners in the Durham area and around the reach of the campuses that would not be comfortable being right. at the Summit Church.
Yeah, and you have to keep the intentionality high there. Because like we do with the gospel, we forget it every day. And we have to, as Luther used to say, beat it into our heads every day. We have, for example, a goal. It's a newer goal for us, but we want to be at least 25% non-white by 2025. So we call it 25 by 25, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to keep the intentionality high because we forget. And I think also people undermine, because perhaps it's a little bit more boring, if you would, it's like the power of faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Of I think it's really, really hard to get up and do the same thing every day mm-hmm. that God's called you to do. And sometimes we have spiritual ADHD, right? Where we want to do a million things. But rather, if we just focus on whatever God's called us to do and just stick at it, just the staying power of just staying on mission. And with wanting to see anyone in our community, and like you said, we live in a very diverse community, to come and feel welcome mm-hmm. where the gospel really is the only thing that is going to offend them. Mm-hmm. We have to get up every day and think of this every day. And when we fail, try again.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So that's why even this, I mean, we're in 2020. I'm talking about a goal for 2025. I'm like, yes, it takes that level of intentionality. Mm-hmm. And that's why also we created we call it CORE, which is the Commission for Oneness and Reconciliation mm-hmm. that Brother Tremaine leads, amazing man of God, African-American. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that came up with this 25 by 25, which the actual elders immediately were like, yes, mm-hmm. unanimously, mm-hmm. because it keeps us going. Little steps, baby steps, mm-hmm. but just keep going at it. You know, mm-hmm. we're going to have some relapse. You know, it's like saving $1,000, as Dave Ramsey says, for your emergency fund. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to deep into those when you shouldn't sometimes, but just keep at it, keep yeah. at it. And so I think the faithfulness there, there's a word that doesn't get used much anymore, but it's long suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think long suffering is hard, but it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not there yet by any means, but man, I pray we're on the way. At least we're swinging for the fences.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that. One of the practical questions that we even ask in the show opener is, does the demographics of your church represent the demographics in your community?
That's right.
And just really asking the body of Christ all over the USA to just take a quick survey. It doesn't take a whole lot of work anymore to know the demographics in your community.
That's so good.
But if your community is 100% white, then reach that. But if your community is now 25% African American, 15% Latino, then what are we doing to be faithful to the gospel? And just recognizing that Jesus that we are following is going to every one of those communities,
right,
with or without our church. But it would be a lot more effective for the Great Commission if our church would be involved in that. And it's not just the leadership, it's not just Pastor Rodil, but you are leading people to be ambassadors of this united front to really raise the aroma of Christ in the community.
Yeah. I hope so, Kevin. And also, you know, when you look at the numbers around you, they're very compelling.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a matter of if the church in America will be diverse or not. It mm-hmm. will be diverse mm-hmm. in 2050.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, do you want those people to not be in a local church or be in a local church?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they did a study in 2015. Pastor Mike Hearn, I believe, from First Baptist Duluth in Georgia, came out with this in his Technicolor book. Over half the children by the end of 2015 in the United States of America were not white.
Mm.
That's over 50%. Mm-hmm. You know, that those children are now becoming young men.
Mm.
And so all the statistics that by 2050, there will no longer be a majority, everything points that way. So we want to be there. We want to take Christ to these people groups now.
Yes.
And we want the church to be welcoming to them now and not react too late, you know. So yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the end of the story, because you said earlier that you really have a high value of focusing in on the future citizenship of where we're going, not where we're from.
Yes.
And so Revelation 7:9 yes. through 12, I'd love for you to read that in Spanish.
Yes. All right. So here is Revelation 7:9-12 in Spanish. And as we say in Spanish, it's Apocalipsis 7:9-12. Después de esto miré, y he aquí una gran multitud, la cual nadie podía contar, de todas naciones y tribus y pueblos y lenguas, que estaban delante del trono y en la presencia del Cordero, vestidos de ropas blancas y con palmas en las manos, y clamaban a gran voz diciendo, la salvación pertenece a nuestro Dios, que está sentado en el trono y al Cordero. Y todos los ángeles estaban en pie alrededor del trono y de los ancianos y de los cuatro seres vivientes, y se postraron sobre sus rostros delante del trono y adoraron a Dios, diciendo, Amén. La bendición y la gloria y la sabiduría y la acción de gracias y la honra y el poder y la fortaleza sean a nuestro Dios por los siglos de los siglos. Amén.
Amén. Amén.
Aleluya.
Yes. Oh, Jesus, let every person that knows the language of Spanish yes, put that in high regard in our hearts. And so there we see this vision of every nation, every tribe, every tongue worshiping before the throne of Jesus in heaven. And that's where we're headed. That's what heaven will look like. And let the church be on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen. I think sometimes we undermine the fact that this is the church that Christ will end up with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that, and for all my beloved Anglo brothers and sisters and minority leaders, I know that the road is narrow, but mm-hmm. the mind doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, unity, as per John 17, that great prayer of Jesus to the Father, really bears a huge witness of the power of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Our time is up, and you've been very gracious and just bearing your soul and giving us so much to think about and to pray over. Any final words of encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ that are bearing the name of Jesus and being faithful to the gospel today?
You're not alone. If you're in this pioneer work
uh-huh.
of multicultural ministry, just keep on.
Yeah.
You're never alone. God is with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget exactly who the theologian is, but someone, some a guy way smarter than me said once, a man in, with God is never in the minority. So let's keep working together and let's love one another and only for God's glory and God's glory alone.
Amen. Pastor Rodale, thank you so much. God bless you. Continue to your good work of the Lord. Praise God for you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Cameron. Thank you for all you're doing for the kingdom as well.
God bless you.
We're giving away a Starbucks gift card this month to one of our amazing listeners. Go to globalhopeindia.org/dream and fill out the quick free Starbucks form. We will randomly select a lucky listener, so enter now for your chance to win. Thank you for listening to the Living the Dream podcast, empowering and equipping church staff with an identifiable and measurable strategy for reaching internationals and changing the world. You can help us live the dream by liking, commenting, subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find more resources to empower and equip your church staff at globalhopeindia.org/resources. That's globalhopeindia.org/resources.